Good morning. Welcome to BCF. As he mentioned, we're in this series, Break Every Chain, that we started on Easter. Last week, Pastor Juan, our Celebrate Recovery pastor, led us in the breaking free from addictions. And so many of you came forward and you nailed those addictions or those things that are controlling you besides Jesus Christ to the cross. This week, the pastors and I, we took all those cards. The pastors, just the pastors, we read through them and we prayed for you. We prayed that God would set you free. Then as a team, we took that stack of cards and we put it in the middle of the table and we prayed over you as a church that God would set you free. Jesus breaks every chain. And we're not going to keep those cards. We're planning on burning those cards because those things are gone. But maybe some of you today, you feel like, well, this chain that's been holding me down, it's been all my life. And maybe you feel like, I'm never going to be free because this is all you've ever known. Maybe you're a little like the elephant. Have you ever been to the circus and you see these huge, majestic elephants in the circus? They're doing less and less of that these days for good reason. Because maybe you wonder, how do they control these huge, powerful creatures, the most powerful land animals on earth? Well, they start when they're babies. They take a baby elephant and they tie a little rope to its leg, and they tie that rope to a stake in the ground, and they nail that to the ground, and the little baby elephant's trying to get free. And it comes to the conclusion, I will never be able to break free from this little rope. And the elephant grows up believing, I will never be free. And so even as adults, they don't try. Did you know that an adult elephant is strong enough to uproot an entire tree? It is strong enough to break that little rope, but it believes I'll never be free, and it stops trying. And maybe that's where you are today. Maybe you've stopped trying to be free. God came to set you free. Jesus breaks every chain. See, Jesus said the thief, that's Satan, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. But my purpose, he said, is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Jesus has a rich and satisfying life for you. There was this one time where Jesus, he had just started traveling, he had just started teaching, and he and his disciples had arrived at a well in Samaria. And I want you to join me in reading this. We're going to be in John chapter 4 most of today. John chapter 4, verse 7, the Bible says, a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus' disciples had gone into town to find food. He's there by himself. And he says to this woman, give me a drink. And she said, how is it that you, a Jew, are asking a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Just a side note, racism is nothing new. In Jesus' days, Jews and Samaritans hated each other. They ignored each other. They didn't want anything to do with each other. But Jesus doesn't care about what is normal, about what is acceptable in culture. He is there for her. So he says this, if you knew the gift of God, and who is saying to you, give me a drink, you would ask him, and he would give you living water. If you only knew the good things God has for you. And friends, Jesus has so many good things for you here today. He has a rich and satisfying life for you. If you only knew. Well, now the woman's intrigued. Sir, said the woman, you don't even have a bucket, and the well is deep. So where do you get this living water? You aren't greater than our father Jacob, are you? He gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and livestock. See, this is the well that her ancestor Jacob drank from, and all her family drank from. This well is all she has ever known. And Jesus said, whoever drinks from this water will get thirsty again. But whoever drinks from the water I give him will never get thirsty again, ever. Could you imagine never being thirsty again? Can you imagine never going back to this thing in your life where you come to it again and again? You keep hoping I'll be satisfied, but each time it leaves you empty. What if you never again crave this thing that is hurting you and maybe is hurting the people around you, the people you love? Jesus said, in fact, the water I give him will become a well of water springing up within him for eternal life. See, Jesus is using this well they're at as a picture of this woman's life. All her life, she has been coming to this well, she's been drinking from this well, and all her life, she has been searching for something that will fill her, searching for something that will leave her satisfied, but she keeps coming back to the well, and it doesn't last. Friends, is there anything like that in your life? Where you keep coming back to it, you keep hoping this is going to make me happy, but it doesn't. Maybe it leaves you feeling guilty or dirty. And no matter how often you come back to it, it doesn't last. Friends, Jesus has something so much better for you. He offers us living water, satisfaction that stays with us. And this woman is beginning to think, man, I want that. I want that satisfaction. Can this man offer me something that's going to last? Something that will make me truly happy, where I'll never be thirsty again? And look at what she says. Sir, the woman said to him, give me this water so I won't get thirsty. And watch this. This gave me goosebumps. And come back here to draw water. If Jesus could just give her something that would satisfy, she would stop coming back to this well that does not satisfy. Now, up to this point, maybe she thinks they're talking about literal water, but Jesus is using this well as a picture of her life, and he's about to make that very clear. So then Jesus said this, go call your husband and come back here. Seems kind of random. They're talking about living water, and all of a sudden, Jesus is like, oh, by the way, go get your husband and come back. It's not random. I don't have a husband, she answered. Here's Jesus. You have correctly said, I don't have a husband, Jesus said. For you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. So what you have said is true. What is Jesus doing? He's calling her out of denial. See, he's pointing out the well that she has been coming to in her life is sexual relationships. And she keeps coming back to this well and hoping this time I'll find love, this time I'll find meaning, this time I'll find happiness, and it doesn't last. And she's been through five marriages that have not worked out, and she's just given up on marriage. Now she's just sleeping with some guy who she's not married to. She keeps coming back to the well that leaves her thirsty. Friends, you know that is the definition of insanity. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and hoping for different results. And maybe that's where you are today. Maybe you have turned to sexual sin to find happiness, to find validation, to find comfort, to find love, but it leaves you empty, and it leaves you broken, and it leaves you guilty and ashamed. Friends, this does not satisfy, and this is why the Bible says run from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. God says, this sexual sin, this is killing you. It not only hurts you physically, it leaves deep scars emotionally, and it hurts you spiritually. It breaks your relationship with God. It's a sin against your own body. I know in church, sometimes this is a taboo topic. We don't talk about that. But friends, sex is a good thing. And when it's used the way God created, it is a beautiful thing. Here's what Jesus said. From the beginning, God made them male and female. And he said, this explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. It's a beautiful thing. And he says, and since they are no longer two but one, let no one split apart what God has joined together. He says, this is God's plan. This is God's design. And sexual sin is then includes any sex outside of God's original design. That's one man and one woman in a lifelong committed relationship of marriage. Now, at this point, you might be feeling like that woman did, guilty and ashamed. And friends, that is not my goal today. My goal is not to leave you there. That was not Jesus' goal in confronting her with her sin. He wanted to bring her out of denial so he could bring her freedom. He wanted to break her free from these chains that are binding her. And sometimes we have to face a little bit of pain so we can get to the healing. It's like this. A couple weeks ago, one of my teeth started hurting. One of my lower molars toward the back, and I would drink something cold, and it would start to sting. And I'm thinking, I have dental insurance now. I should probably go see my dentist. So I schedule this appointment with my dentist, and she takes a look at my teeth, and she sees, one of my molars has a really, really bad cavity. The problem is, in order to treat the cavity, in order to take care of it, she's going to have to pull the wisdom tooth next to it. She needs to pull one of my teeth so she can treat the other tooth. And at this point, I'm thinking, maybe it doesn't hurt that bad. You know, maybe I can just live with the pain. I'll just keep taking ibuprofen, and let's just pretend that nothing's wrong. But that's not going to fix anything. Because that tooth will just get worse and worse until it rots and dies. Denial is not going to fix the problem. I had to say, you know what, go ahead, pull that wisdom tooth. And friends, that was not fun. I'm still taking ibuprofen today. For a couple days, I was on a liquid diet of soup and protein shakes. And this past week, our team, we got together to celebrate all the good things we saw God do at Easter. We had 39 people baptized on Good Friday. We had 1,200 people show up Easter weekend, and we're celebrating what God has done. He's breaking every chain. And so we go out to eat at Bigos, the best fajitas in town. And I'm sitting there with my protein shake from Tropical Smoothie. Friends, my goal today is not to bring you pain. But sometimes we have to get through the pain to get to the root and find healing. So today I'm going to be sharing with you what the Bible has to say about sexual sin. And this is not fun, but these are also not Pastor Bo's words. This is not just what I believe. I'm going to be sharing with you what God says about sexual sin. Number one, sexual sin includes sex before marriage. Now, I know cohabitation and sex before marriage is very common today, but here's what God says. Marriage must be respected by all, and the marriage bed kept undefiled, because God will judge immoral people and adulterers. Friends, I don't want that for you. I want God to bless you. And maybe if that's where you're at today, reach out to us. We would love to meet with you. We'd love to counsel you. And if God wills, we would love to marry you guys. We want you to see God's blessing in your life. But notice, sexual sin also includes adultery. This is one of God's 10 commandments. You must not commit adultery. These are some of God's top 10 principles for life. He says, if you do these things, I want you to have a blessed life, a long life. And he says, do not commit adultery, because God's plan is what? One man, one woman, together for life. So number three, sexual sin also includes homosexuality. And here's what the Bible says. Again, these are not my words. These are God's words. The Bible says when people turn from God's ways and God's plan for their lives, Romans 1:26, God abandoned them to their shameful desires. Even the women turned against the natural way to have sex and indulged in sex with each other. And the men, instead of having normal sexual relations with women, burned with lust for each other. I know today we see and we hear everywhere that this is normal, that this should be accepted. But God says, this is not my original design. The Bible teaches this is sin. Now, this is not the worst sin. This is not even the most common sin. In fact, in our churches, I believe we have a much bigger problem with adultery and straight sex outside of marriage. But friends, whatever your sin is today, whatever your struggle is today, I want you to know you are welcome here. We want you here. God wants you here. But I believe our biggest sexual sin in our church is number four, lust and pornography. Lust is looking at another man or another woman who is not your spouse with sexual desire. And Jesus said, you have heard the commandment that says you must not commit adultery. It's one of God's 10 commandments. But, he said, I say, even anyone who even looks at a woman with lust or looks at another man with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And as pastors, as we read over so many of those cards that you were nailing to the cross, we saw what a big struggle lust and pornography is in our church. And friends, I have struggled with pornography in the past. And we can rationalize to ourselves that this is a victimless crime, that we're not hurting anyone. But did you know that pornography fuels the human trafficking industry? Not only does this damage our own soul, not only does it destroy our relationships and keep us from having intimacy in our marriages, pornography literally promotes slavery. Now, I've shared with you from God's word today, I know this could be painful, like pulling a tooth, but we have to get through the pain to get to the deeper problem, because I've discovered that sexual sin, as enticing as it is, we're usually using it to treat a deeper need or a deeper problem. Sexual sin, as bad as it is, as enticing as it is, it's usually not the root issue. The root issue is that we have this deep need or this deep hurt in our life, and we're going to sexual sin to try to find healing. We are trying to treat the problem with sexual sin. We're looking to this for something that only God can give us. Again, God pleads with us, turn back to me. He says, my people have done two evils. They've turned away from me, the spring of living water, and they've dug their own wells, which are broken wells that cannot hold water. Underline that, broken wells. Sexual sin is a broken well that does not satisfy. Only Jesus can meet our deepest needs. So here's my question. What is that need you are turning to sexual sin in order to fulfill? Maybe it's acceptance. You feel like I'm not accepted anywhere else, but when I'm in these sexual relationships, then I feel accepted. Or I feel like I'm worthless, but if I turn to this, then I feel like I have value. Or I don't get affection at home, so I'm turning to this for affection or for control. I can't control these things. Or I feel lonely, or I turn to this for comfort. Or for me, it was escape. When I'd feel overwhelmed by pressures, by stresses, I want to escape. And my escape was often to fantasy. I'd escape to video games, or TV shows, or movies, or comic books, and sometimes pornography. And it was an escape from reality, escape from the pressures, but it was a broken well that did not satisfy. It just left me feeling ugly and dirty and ashamed. We see the deep need to escape, that's not the problem. It's not bad to want to escape. The question is, who am I escaping to? And this is why I memorized Psalm 61, verses 2 and 3. when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the towering rock of safety, for you are my safe refuge, a fortress where my enemies cannot reach me. Instead of turning to this that leaves me empty and ugly and dirty, I can escape to Jesus Christ. He is my safe place. He is where I escape to. Jesus is the only one who can fulfill that deep, deep need you have in your life. Today, I want you to hear from another friend of mine who struggled with sexual sin for a long time until he realized the root of his problems. I want you to hear from him now.
Hi, everybody. My name is Aaron. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, and I struggle with depression, anger, and codependency, and I have over 8 years of sobriety from sexual addiction. My struggle has been with pornography and same-sex attraction. When I was 5 years old, I began to be sexually abused. I was a lonely child, and I didn't have a lot of friends growing up. So when the abuse started to happen, I liked it. I enjoyed it, and it actually brought me comfort. It made me feel good about myself. And the abuse ended when I was 11, and that left another hole in my life that I needed to fill with more of what I was getting before. So I went looking for sexual partners. I went looking for pornography. I went looking for anything that I could find to fill that void. So for a long time, I thought that there was something wrong with me. I thought I was broken and I was never gonna get any better, and it felt real hopeless. Even though I was coming to church, I was singing on Fridays, I was singing on Sundays, we were playing in the band. And then I started going to therapy because I realized that I was depressed. That I had taken these thoughts of shame and guilt and put them inward. I'd focus them on myself. And it wasn't until after I stopped hating myself and after I accepted who I was and what I was and who God wanted me to be that I was able to let go of that voice, that I was able to not have this fear, like I said, that, you know, if everything went wrong, then, you know, it would be okay because I could go back to sex, I could go back to homosexuality, I could go back to whatever else that I wanted to do. I felt broken and I felt like I wasn't whole. And now that, you know, I don't hate myself, now that I accept me for what God is doing in my life and what He's brought me through, like I'm not lonely anymore. And not only do I have, you know, my friends and my family and my wife and all these people in my life, I know that I have Jesus, and I don't have to fight that anymore. I don't have to feel like there's this part of me that rejects Him. I feel like I'm whole. I feel like I know who I am, and I feel like who I was isn't who I am anymore.
I don't know if you caught that at the beginning, but he said he is celebrating 8 years of freedom from pornography and sexual addiction. Aaron is walking in freedom today. Jesus breaks every chain. He can break your chains. When Jesus came to that well in Samaria, he knew that woman. He knew what she was looking for. He knew she needed hope. She needed freedom. She needed love. She needed validation. But she was looking in all the wrong places. And when he confronted her with her sin, I want you to hear what she said. She said, "Sir, I see you are a prophet." There's an understatement. He just pointed out you've been married 5 times and you're living with some guy. She's like, "You're a prophet." And then she said this, "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews say the place to worship is in Jerusalem." The first time I read this, I had to laugh. I thought she was like, "Let's change the subject." But I came to realize this. She's saying, "Hey, you're telling me God has the answer for my problems. But you're a Jew, and you Jews worship God in Jerusalem, and I'm a Samaritan, and I am not welcome in Jerusalem." And maybe you felt that because of your sin, because of your choices, because of your lifestyle, you felt like, well, maybe Jesus has the answer, but I don't feel welcome in church. And if that's where you are, I am so sorry. I want you to know you are welcome here. Here's what Jesus said. He said, believe me, dear woman, the time is coming. Indeed, it is here now when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And underline this. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. The Father is looking for them. He's telling her, the Father wants you. He's looking for you. He wants you to worship him in spirit. That means he'll put his spirit inside you. His Holy Spirit, you can worship him anywhere in spirit and in truth. That means embracing what God's word says is true. God wants you. And this woman said to him, well, I know the Messiah is coming. And when he comes, he'll explain everything to us. And I love this part. He said, I am he, the one speaking to you. And Jesus is telling her that the one you've been looking for all your life, I'm right here. I'm the one who can give you living water, who can give you freedom and healing and hope and validation and purpose. He came to give life. Jesus brought you here today. He came to give you hope and purpose and freedom and a new life. And maybe you're saying, well, what do I do now? I want you to see what this woman did. The Bible says, then the woman left her water jar. Underline that. She left her water jar because she didn't need it anymore. She had what she needed in Jesus. And she went to town and she told the men, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. How you break free today? You do what that lady did. Leave your sins at Jesus' feet. Give your desires to Jesus. Give your sinful habits to Jesus. Friends, that's how I found freedom. For years and years, I struggled with pornography, and I'd go to this well that didn't satisfy, and I'd leave, and I'd be like, no, I'm going to change now. And then inevitably, I'd come back to that well because I couldn't fix myself. And then one day, I gave that to Jesus. I said, Jesus, I can't fix myself. I'm giving you my sin. I'm giving you my addiction to pornography. And friends, Jesus has set me free. Friends, I stand before you today with 10 years of freedom from pornography. Jesus breaks every chain. Leave your sin at Jesus' feet. And then number two, run from temptation. This woman left her water jar and she ran to town. She didn't hang out at the well and see how close can I get to the edge before I fall in. The Bible says, run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Don't hang around with it. Run the other way. What do we do instead? Pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Dive into righteous living. Start reading your Bible. Start serving. Start spending time with God's people. How do we do this? Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. Friends, if you want to be free, don't do it alone. Number three, connect with community. This woman didn't keep her freedom to herself. She ran to town. She told all the men, come and meet a man who told me everything I've ever done. He knows about my 5 failed marriages. He knows about the sin I'm living in today. But he says, I've come to give you living water. I think he's the Messiah. Friends, don't do this alone. I told you a couple weeks ago, we had our men and meet. We had a great time. And friends, we launched 3 new men's small groups from that event. Guys, get plugged into a small group. Ladies, we're having that coffee talk later this month. And we also have 3 open women's small groups. Get connected. Get surrounded with ladies who will love you and pray for you and encourage you. Maybe you say, well, I'm not ready to jump into a small group. Just come on Friday nights to celebrate recovery. We meet here at 7. We have worship, we have awesome music, we have a message, and then we have open share groups where you can start learning about, hey, I'm not alone. I'm not the only one struggling here. See, Jesus came to set you free. You don't do this alone. You need a community. The Bible says the Samaritans from that town believed in Jesus because of what the woman said when she testified. He told me everything I ever did. And many more believed because of what he said. See, now they're listening to Jesus. And they told the woman, we no longer believe because of what you said, for we have heard ourselves, and we know he really is the Savior of the world. When Jesus entered that town, she was alone. She was ashamed. When Jesus left that town, she was part of a community of believers in Jesus Christ. And friends, we have that community for you here. At BCF Church, Brownsville Community Fellowship, we want you to be part of our community. But that first step is to invite Jesus in. Invite him to come in and fill you with that living water. Jesus said, my purpose is to give you a rich and satisfying life. Friends, if you've never invited him in, then talk to him today. Just tell him something like this. Dear Jesus, I believe you are the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Tell him, Jesus, I believe. Say, Jesus, please forgive me. Forgive me for turning to these broken wells that don't satisfy. Please give me your living water so I'll never be thirsty again. And I'll never have to come back to this broken well. Say, Jesus, please fill me with your Holy Spirit. If you invite him to come in, he will come in. He will set you free, and you'll never be alone again. Let's invite him right now. Say, Jesus, please come in. We love you, Jesus. Amen.